Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we're going to be talking with two St. Louis journalists just back from a visit halfway around the world. That would be to Pakistan. The journalists are Dick Weiss, longtime Post-Dispatch editor and reporter, and Casey Nolan, reporter and anchor at Channel 5. They went to Pakistan as part of a two-week media exchange program. Relations between the U.S. and Pakistan were chilly before their visit. Since their return, President Trump has issued a barrage of critical tweets and frozen U.S. military aid to that country. Dick Weiss and Casey Nolan join me in studio. Welcome back, gentlemen, and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks. Same to you, Don. Good to be here.
Dick, let me start with you. There was a definite chill in relations between our two countries just since your return. What do you make of that?
Well, it's Pakistan's a very important country on the world scene, increasingly so recently. And the United States has had warm relations with Pakistan and very cool relations over the years, depending on the sort of the geopolitical situation. And right now, it's probably as distant and dark as it's been for quite a while. We need Pakistan because it is a check. It gives us access to East Asia militarily. But at the same time, we're concerned about how much they're doing about the terrorist situation. And so hence the sanctions that have occurred. And Pakistan is coming increasingly under the influence of China.
Casey, how were you received?
Very well. Kind of almost like celebrities in some parts because people wanted to stop and take selfies with us. We went to a mall, and there are different kinds of malls. Dick and I went shopping in our free time in some places that were, had a little, rubble around our feet, and then other places were nice indoor malls five times the size of the Galleria. We went to the food court in the Galleria type mall once, and a man came up to me and said, "Where are you from?" Mm-hmm. I said, "The United States." He said, "Are you Muslim?" I said, "No." He's like, "Why are you here?" And then proceeded to get some selfies with me and find me on Facebook. And we've messaged a few times since, a total stranger who was just interested in meeting an American and welcomed us very warmly. And I think Dick would agree. They're very hospitable. Everywhere we went, yes, we were warmly welcomed.
There are just not very many Americans who go. The State Department discourages tourism at this point. It's not considered safe. Many of the people at the embassy and at the consulate in Karachi, they do not get to have their dependents with them, their wives and children. It's considered unsafe.
Well, what kind of security do you have?
Well, when we went there, we had we were taken around in a van and with a security guard literally riding shotgun. And when we would be taken to a journalism organization or another agency, those buildings would be highly secure. And we would be escorted in and escorted back out. We stayed at two hotels, one in Karachi and one in Islamabad, that had numerous barriers to entry and guards with automatic weapons at the front door. That said, we never really felt unsafe.
I couldn't figure out if the precautions were, going overboard or we were overly naive. And maybe it was somewhere in between. Like Dick said, everywhere we went, we had at least the visual presence of some security. And then at the same time, though, we went out a couple of times at night by ourselves to just grab a meal on our own and kind of explore.
Did you have the feeling in talking with your journalist colleagues that you could speak freely with them and they with you?
I thought so for sure. Yeah. And that was a really interesting dynamic because there are certainly things they will tell you that there are some taboos, some areas they won't touch as journalists, the largest probably being the military. They do not criticize the military openly in public, but at the same time, they can sit there and talk about it with you openly off the air or out of print. And they have a pride in their freedom of the press. They have a pride in the way they do take on their politicians, but there's certainly some no-go areas, the military being one, and then, of course, anything that could be construed as blasphemy. They just won't even go there.
How much conversation could you have, Dick, with regard to our political system and the kinds of things we started this conversation with?
Well, I should start just by giving you a little bit of background. I had been host to seven groups of Pakistani journalists over the last few years here in St. Louis, mm-hmm. and we would take them around to visit
like
with
this.
You
and
visit with Casey and other organizations. And so they came with their sort of own preconceptions and biases. I was, for many of them, I was the first Jewish person they had ever met. Mm-hmm. And we had very frank conversations about the political system here in the U.S. When we went over there, they were entertained all the questions, and there are different points of view, but basically they do not see – they love us as individuals, but they see our government as being not only unfriendly in many ways – we've had drone strikes in their sovereign territory – but inconsistent. They don't think that we've got a sort of staying power that other actors in their areas have, for better or for worse. And some of these terrorist groups that the United States is concerned about, well, those same groups of people are the enemies of their enemies. So they are reluctant to push too hard against them. And so, you know, we talked about that. We talked to one organization that we went to, one of the last ones we spoke with. We talked to them about the drone strikes, and one of the individuals, spokesman of that organization, said, "Well, you know, we say officially that we don't like them and we hate that you've killed innocent people and some of our military, but we also have to acknowledge privately that it has had an impact on the terrorist organizations there." So. There's a lot of on the record and off the record kind of things going on. It's very nuanced.
That's kind of the gist of the conversation you had with one of the reporters there, Casey.
It is. They make a distinction between us and the government, which I think probably you could say about, you know, just about anywhere a person could travel. That when you get face to face, you meet person to person, you find out, you know, this mm-hmm. anyone who's traveled knows this, that there are so many things we have in common with anyone around the world. But then when it comes to politics, they have their questions about our government, for sure.
Let's listen to what the gentleman you spoke with had to say.
The people of Pakistan, and especially the people of Fatah, have a different concept and idea about the government of the United States. Actually say that now when the drone airstrikes are being carried out in the tribal areas, most of the innocent people were being targeted. So now I think they are the different and the negative idea about the government, but not about the people in the public of the United States.
And that is one of your reporter colleagues from Pakistan. You know, that comment sounds to me a lot like what we hear about the people of Iran, for instance. The government obviously is at odds with ours, but the people really seem to like Americans.
And the ones that I've been fortunate to meet traveling, I really like them. You know, we're all just people, right? I mean, but that was Wally. That was Wally Khan Shinwari that we just heard from there. And boy, talking to him gives you some perspective on what we do here in the U.S. You know, he is in the Fatah region, the tribal region, the area where the drone strikes are happening. And he is risking his life on a daily basis to be a reporter. He's been kidnapped several times. His family, his children are asking him, please give this up. Why are you doing this? And he says he wants to be the voice of the people who, in his mind, you know, it's not he believes the people causing trouble in that area are coming over from Afghanistan, and he wants to be the voice for the people that he grew up with and the people he knows as his neighbors to let people like us know that they're not all terrorists, is in his words. And when I was talking to him, then we were standing, Dick may remember the number, but we were by the Memorial for Killed Journalists,
mm-hmm. right.
slain in the line of duty, and it was dozens in the last couple of decades. So that was just a completely different perspective.
15 journalists have been killed in that area, and so you put your life at risk. Here in the United States, journalists are under attack and called the enemy of the people, but that's not nearly what those journalists are facing over there.
Dick, do you have the feeling that they understand our concerns, though, about safe haven? I mean, after all, Osama bin Laden was
30 miles right. from where we were exactly. staying.
Yeah, sure. You know, right under the nose of their, you know, their military sure. area, and they get it, but they have their own concerns. They are surrounded by what shall we say, unstable areas, and so their immediate concern, of course, just like ours is their own safety, their own security, and they make the alliances as they see fit. That's a first priority, and they don't necessarily align as much with the vision that the United States would have for the world mm-hmm. As they do with, well, they've got India to the south, which is very problematic for them, and they've got a region that they've been fighting with India over for a long time called Kashmir. Where they're regularly lives lost and terrorism incidents occurring, and then they've got Afghanistan, which is totally an unstable state.
And they've got nuclear point. Weapons.
And they got that too. And the United States, as it's withdrawing support. Military and economic support leaves a little bit of a vacuum, and so they turn to anybody who will help them. Pakistan was undergoing brownouts several hours at a time in their cities, no power, and the Chinese came and helped them fix that. So
that's what we used to do.
The Chinese have more influence.
That's what we used to do when countries needed that kind of infrastructure.
We were told in no uncertain terms that we, at least in the opinion of a couple of folks we talked to at this particular think tank who seem to have their, you know, have the pulse of the country, that we've been replaced by the Chinese when it comes to that sort of thing. The Chinese are dumping in billions of dollars and building out their infrastructure.
Not only there, but Africa and other parts of the world as well.
And the Chinese aren't going to ask impolite questions about how you're doing with your human rights issues, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, sort of no questions asked in terms of their support, and it's all very strategic. And it's how is it that we can keep this country running with a so many disparate populations that are difficult to keep under control.
We'll talk more about human rights in a moment. I have to take a break. We'll do that now. Talking with local journalists Dick Weiss and Casey Nolan, just back a couple of weeks now from a two-week visit to Pakistan. We're talking about that visit, and we'll continue the conversation in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with journalists Dick Weiss and Casey Nolan about their recent visit to Pakistan in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Councilwoman Colleen Wassinger will not run for another term in the St. Louis County Council. Some of the candidates interested in taking her spot include former County Police Chief Tim Fitch. Missouri State Auditor Nicole Galloway is discussing the findings of her office's audit on the timeliness of tax refunds issued by the Missouri Department of Revenue. And Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson says his office will continue to look into potential abuses at state veterans' homes. He initiated an investigation of the Missouri Veterans' Home, which resulted in the firing of key administrators. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day at our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our discussion with Casey Nolan and Dick Weiss. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit, Casey, back to the loss of so many journalists in Pakistan. Who's killing them?
Well, I guess the same forces that we would want to be fighting in terms of terrorist activity, people who don't like what they've said. You know, we met with the head of one of the prominent newspapers, and speaking of security, when we got out of the bus at his house, there was even more security, and he had relocated within the country because of threats against his life for things he had published and things that he was not backing down from. So non-state actors, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a little mysterious who's doing what to whom, and some of these killings are never solved. Sometimes it can just be somebody who has a grudge. Somebody doesn't maybe there's a family situation, mm-hmm. but it's so it's very hard to solve these crimes, and they occur among so much other mayhem. One of the issues that came up is it's not just terrorism, it's not just political theater, as it were. There's a problem with crime in general in Pakistan. You can imagine with so much poverty there that people are worried about their security in all kinds of ways.
We also visited a kind of a art installation, open space to perform, to talk. A nonprofit there, where an activist had been murdered just outside, and her life had been threatened for several years. And at one point, the biggest charge against her was blasphemy that had gone back a decade or so. You know, mm-hmm. individuals can level that charge, and it can follow you your whole life, as it was explained to us.
Yeah. You'd mentioned, Dick, human rights issues, that we tend to bring these up when we deal with other countries. What is the human rights situation in Pakistan?
Well, it's interesting. It depends on where you live and what part of the country that you're in. Pakistan has actually a very good progressive constitution that grew out of the Western tradition. Now, enforcing that or making sure that all the cities and populations kind of live up to it is something else entirely. And so you'd have a very progressive, fairly liberal city like Islamabad, where there's a great deal of respect for human rights, and there's some other areas where there are honor killings. If you don't marry the right person, or you're found going out with somebody who you shouldn't be, and obviously that's not the rule of law, but can it be enforced, and can people be held accountable in some of these areas without causing even more violence and even more of a problem? So there are a number of non-governmental organizations that try to promote the rule of law, women's rights, and rights for gays as well. And they do the best they can, but they're dealing with a population that is not highly literate and able to understand what a constitution means and how it should be enforced.
And in some parts, the constitution literally doesn't apply by law, too. And when you go to the tribal areas, there are parts where it right. doesn't apply.
The country also has a rich tradition of political assassination. I mean, you don't have to go back too far to start finding examples.
For sure. And the army, if the government steps out of line, the army can go in and depose an elected prime minister. And there was one not so long ago, Bhutto,
Benazir Bhutto,
who was executed, and on a ruling by the court, a 3-2 ruling by the court, that he should be convicted of crimes, and that there was one of those people making that decision who was sort of on the fence, going back and forth. And you imagine executing a elected official on that kind of shaky vote, it's from our point of view, kind of crazy. On the other hand, in 2002, there was only state-run media, and then they opened it up, and now there are hundreds, literally hundreds of journalism organizations that can cover the news in all kinds of ways. And so that's a very healthy thing.
Sure.
Casey, what in the conversations you had with people, fellow journalists and the folks at the NGOs, what did they seem most interested in? What did they want to talk about?
Well, Don, our president came up a lot, to be honest with you. And I think, just like here, they wanted to know our tweets, official statements. And these are the questions we have here, regardless of how one feels about politics or whether they support the president or not. I think oftentimes people wonder, you know, what do we make of these tweets? And they were certainly interested in that. I think that came up anytime. We had a lot of tea and biscuits and an amazing hospitality around tables with folks. And not too long after the tea was poured, Trump came up just about every time. They also feel a little slighted, though, too, going back to that relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan, because they're, I don't know when the last sitting president has actually visited Pakistan, but our president, President Obama, will go to India, but not Pakistan, and it goes back and, mm-hmm. and back. And they have this feeling that we have such a supposedly vital relationship, but yet they feel like they are just not given the respect that they deserve publicly.
Dick, given the communications and the technology in today's world, I have to assume that they're fairly sophisticated with regard to what they know about us.
Yes, and that is, particularly the journalists, they are pretty well educated and very hungry for knowledge. And one of the great things about this program that we were on, which was operated through the University of Oklahoma Gaylord School of Communications, and Joe Foote, who is the Dean Emeritus there, is that they have increasing opportunities to understand the United States and understand learn good journalism practices, and they are trying to employ them in their daily work. The thing that's a little scary, you know, from our point of view, is, well, given the difficulties in our current relationship with Pakistan, are these programs going to bite the dust? Hard to know.
The other thing that was concerning for me, talking about these programs, we were talking to people who are training journalists there, and they said they used to always say, when it comes to how journalists should function in society, that we would look to the U.S., and they straight up said, we don't say that anymore.
Hmm. Well, that's discouraging.
Yes.
I'm sure that that they could learn a lot from people like you two gentlemen. What did you, could you, could we learn from them? Anything?
Well, speaking of being hungry, I think maybe we could use a little more teeth in our journalism. I think they kind of stood up and held us accountable and wanted to asking us some hard questions that sometimes we as local journalists think, well, we don't cover that. We're local. Mm-hmm. And I left there wondering, why don't we? Why isn't there more political analysis or holding our own state elected officials accountable at the local level? A lot of things we have to cover locally. You mentioned the county council race that's going to mm-hmm. be coming up. I mean, we have our plate is full when it comes to things to cover here locally, but they certainly have a hunger for national politics there that I think most local organizations in the U.S. don't. We leave it to the national news organizations to do that.
What do you think, Dick?
Yeah, I think We're in the Midwest. We're surrounded by, you know, more or less friendly territory, and don't feel as connected with the rest of the world as people in Pakistan do. I mean, they are looking at what's going on all over the place, and we tend to be very, in a way, provincial. Mm-hmm. And what's going on in Pakistan is really actually very important to us, and, you know, your program is great in the sense of you get that, and you will have us on the air to talk about it and to make these points. But a lot of journalism is not internationally based, and we suffer from that. We suffer from that provincialism.
Yeah, people around the world know a lot more about us and what we do than we know about them. I've got a caller here. Our time is winding down, but Neil was good enough to give us a call. He has a question, I believe. Let's bring him in. He's calling from Creve Coeur. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, hi. Do you see minorities there, like Hindus and Christians, like the Hindu women in saris, and are they treated well? And also, is Karachi and Lahore, is that as liberal as Islamabad?
Well, Karachi is not as liberal as Islamabad. Islamabad was described as a kind of a little island of unreality.
It's a more international city, perhaps.
Yeah.
Karachi is huge. It's 28 million people. They don't have potable water for anyone. They everyday folks drink bottled water or boil their water, and they have an amazing traffic that it's hard to comprehend. Mm-hmm. As far as the minority population, about 97% Muslim. As it was explained to me, there are some Hindus who have converted to Christianity and to try to get out of a caste system and whatnot, and is in terms of how they're treated. According to a friend of ours who had spent some time in St. Louis and is a local there working journalist, no, they're not treated very well, and they don't live in very very good conditions. They do have special cards that allow them to buy alcohol in a country where it's illegal. So that's that gives them some interaction with locals on a black market level, if you could say that.
That's something you looked into upon arrival.
Don, I like to explore all avenues of culture.
Right, right.
Any final thoughts you want to leave us with, gentlemen? I'll start with you, Dick, because, you know, your takeaway from this experience.
Well, I think you just begin to appreciate what a complicated world it is, and that there are so many nuances in terms of approaching Pakistan that need to be taken into account. And there really isn't a very clear picture, you know, where you can come up with kind of a win-win solution for all these issues, terrorism or economic development or whatever. And, you know, as you look at the Israeli-Palestinian situation, what's going on in Pakistan is just as intractable as that one is. And so I think it's important to tread lightly and to also study up and understand all the pressures that exist in that society so that we can come to a better place.
Final thought, Casey?
It just didn't look like I thought it would because I watched too much Homeland. It's, you know, on one hand, there are, you know, definitely some rural areas that we didn't get to and other issues that might kind of line up with a Homeland-like scenario. But otherwise, it was much more sophisticated and extremely welcoming.
How can you use what you've learned through this experience here in your job here?
Well, going back to that universal theme, perhaps, you know, don't judge just by those broad brushstrokes that you kind of get from, you know, from not knowing, from not being there, and know that when you do get up face to face with someone, no matter how different you might think you are, there are some universal similarities.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us, and glad to see you back safe and sound coming from a dangerous part of the world. Casey Nolan and Dick Weiss, thank you so much. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, Don.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.